This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, August 25th, 2021. The Memorial of King St. Louis IX by Father William Doc Holliday.
We work night and day while we preach to you the gospel of God. The words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost. St. Paul speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in that first reading today, that letter to the Thessalonians, he is speaking of sincerity in preaching the gospel. This is why I'm always emphasizing the practical Catholicism that our lives should manifest, because that is a matter of sincerity. You can talk a good show. I'm not saying everybody that talks doesn't mean it. I mean, we do have to communicate in some ways, but it proves something when you do what you say. Sincerity. And St. Paul is emphasizing his sincerity in preaching the gospel and as an example to us who preach the gospel. When you are sincere about doing it, you put all other things aside. You put your own wants aside. You don't try to impress anybody. You just do what God wants you to do. This is a simple proposition. We should know what God wants us to do. It should be no secret to anybody if you study your faith, as you should. Wait till Sunday to hear an hour's worth of instruction, a lot less than that, because that's not most of the liturgy. We need to delve into our faith ourselves to prove to God that we mean what we say. We need to prove to God that we take this serious. We need to be sincere in our faith. And part of that sincerity is disinterestedness, to be disinterested in the things of this world, to be disinterested in how it puts us out to be sincere in this gospel proclamation. This is what St. Paul brags about in 1 Thessalonians. A couple verses before we started our lectionary read today, he brags about never having worked or never having had to, he worked while he was there, never having to take things from the church. He was a tent maker. Okay, he said, I work day and night while I preach the gospel to you. A lot of people might read that and think he's talking about working day and night to preach the gospel to. No, I worked making tents day and night so I could preach the gospel to you and not take any money from the church. You don't owe me anything. I never took anything from you. Disinterestedness. Why is he talking about it? It sounds like he's bragging all, but he's not bragging. He's just stating fact. You know, I worked day and night while I was preaching the gospel to you, so you didn't have to pay me anything. Because when folks see the Holy Spirit working in someone, it goes so much further than words. It's what I said before. When people see the way you act, when they see the way you talk, when you speak charitably all the time, when you don't use the language that everybody else uses around us, these things speak to people. It might weird them out because you don't talk like everybody else. They might, do some people approach, oh, he's holier than, he doesn't curse, he doesn't do this, he doesn't. Good. Good. It shows you're different. We need to show that we're different. And it's not just a matter of not talking the way, we can't play their games. And I don't know how many times I point this out, I mean, particularly in this day and age. I mean, they're hijacking words. Society speaks of things that we shouldn't agree with. We shouldn't even use the terminology that they use. We don't want to throw, these letter people, how many ever letters they have, I mean, increases like week to week, how many letters there are now about this preference and that lifestyle and all this trash. Don't use those words. Don't use the letters. Call it what it is. Even the church has fallen into that nonsense. they're struggling with a grave disorder. They're struggling with heinous, monstrous sin is what they're struggling with. Okay? If you present it that way, then all the cards are on the table. It proves something. It proves that you believe something and you don't color it up or leave it at your house. Your religion's for at your house. Okay? It's not for out here. No. It's for all the time. This is reality. This is sincerity. The church is lacking sincerity now in her presentation of things. This is undeniable. It's objective. We see it every single day. We can't play the game. It's got to start somewhere. God knows it's not going to come from the top down. So what do we got to do? What we're supposed to. Be sincere. Because we are individually going to be answerable to the judgment seat of Christ as to our sincerity. It is not going to fly to get up there and go, hey, you did, well, the church said, the guys up in the church, they said we shouldn't do this or we shouldn't call it that. No. No, you will be answerable for yourself. This is what we have to understand. This is gospel today. We can't talk the good show. The Pharisees were talking good show. I love gospels like this today. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Wow, Jesus, that's not very Christ-like. He's up in their face. Hypocrites, you say one thing and you do another. You talk about the law till you're blue in the face, but you don't do any of it. Things have kind of gone topsy-turvy now here recently. Now, we don't talk about the law. We just act like we're doing things. The gospel, you know, the Jews are talking, but they're not doing. And the personification of love and mercy looks at them and goes, hypocrites, twice. Okay, and that's just a little section of that gospel. He goes on. Why? Because Jesus Christ is sincere about maintaining the will of the Father. He's sincere about the necessity of keeping the law that is absolute. Commercial for Sunday. We need to appreciate the fact that there is a sincerity. And it is still there. We just need to manifest it. We can't rely on others to do it. This whole thing about, you know, St. Paul is this example. You know, how dare you call them hypocrites? That's so mean-spirited. And no, he called them hypocrites because he loved them and he wanted to change them. He wanted them to change. That's the gospel. We want to change people. We want to change their perception of the gospel. People look at the gospel like, you know, like Jesus is the ogre. Jesus, there's so many rules in there. So what do? Jesus got so many rules. They turn to Satan. He doesn't have any rules. And it's actually just the opposite. We find freedom in Jesus Christ, and Satan's the one that binds you to sin. This is the reality of things. St. Paul is going on about all his sincerity because he's acting like a father. He said, I act like a father to you. Fathers, if they're good fathers, most are, try to be, when they try to, they're self-giving for their families. They do what they are to do to their children, correct them, chastise them on occasion, nurture them up, in order to make them good people. You know, first and foremost, to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. This is the example St. Paul is giving us, an example of sincerity. Not just talking, but doing. And not just doing, but putting yourself out that you can do it without being a burden on anyone. This is a tall order. This is the example. Today's memorial. St. Louis the Ninth. St. Louis the Ninth, he's king. He's a king, the king of France. You know, when they used to, when kings of France were, when they had their coronation, the church authorities were, you know, placing them in that position of king. They were called the king most Christian, Rex Christimus. You are the king that is most Christian. Yeah, this is the way France was looked at. you know, the most Christian of nations. St. Louis the Ninth, you look at this man, and I think one of his quotes really kind of sums up his whole life. He said, "In prosperity, give thanks to God with humility and fear, lest by pride you abuse God's benefits and so offend him." St. Louis was a king. I mean, this guy had more money than you can really consider in his day. And he was sovereign. He had complete sway, just like every other king did back in the day. With sort of that whole, I don't make the laws, I am the law. That's it. He didn't take advantage of it. This man used to feed poor people from his own table, and he waited till they got done and he ate their leftovers. He personally attended to sick people. He personally went to establishments and institutions that he founded for the upkeep of blind people, for reformed prostitutes. He went and visited those places himself, and he wore regular street clothes. He'd wear his clean, and a lot of times he went there, was wearing a hair shirt under his street clothes. This is this man. But he was a king, and he knew it. And he acted like it. He and his troops went on a crusade. And on the way to that crusade, it looked like they were going to do phenomenal, until the plague hit them while they were there, and the vast majority of troops died. And so they were overrun. He was taken captive. What does he do the whole time he's in captivity? When you're a king, you really don't have to worry about being executed. They'll pay a lot of money to get you back. Okay, and that's what happened. And the whole time he was there, he's in his jail cell doing the liturgy of the hours. That's the kind of man he was. And they bring him back to France, and he continues living the life that he did. And then guess what he does again? Goes on another crusade. You think, hey, I'm a king. I went once. A lot of people died. Dodged the bullet on that one. Got captured. Come back. But no, he goes again. And as soon as they get there, guess what happened? The plague hasn't gone anywhere. A lot of troops get it, including the king. And he dies. Why? Because he wanted to advance the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to advance the kingdom of Christ. This is what he was about. We always have to understand the context in which we're working. The way I described him before about wearing a hair shirt, going and feeding poor people from his table and all this kind of thing. He's kind of a pushover king and everything. No, he wasn't. These are two prime examples as to how this man worked. And this is how we should work. When it's about us or an affront to us, kind of blow it off. We should. There was a time when back in those days, there were all kind of rebellions all the time if you were a king. And some upstart, tried to rebel against the king. They crushed it almost immediately. And the guy who started the rebellion was killed. His son was captured. And they're like, "You're going to execute him, right?" He went, "No." It was a rebellion. You're supposed to execute me. And now, said, because men should always obey their father. He blew it off completely. Well, man, I like that guy. He's Mr. Mercy. Unless you were convicted of blasphemy, because while he was king, he implemented the punishment of mutilation of your lips and tongue if you were convicted of blasphemy. Why is that? Because that's not an offense against him. It's an offense against God. And he took it very, very seriously. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ could, when he's getting nailed to the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Because he knew he was working, they were working out of ignorance. "Father, forgive them, they know what they do." That's one of those overwhelming parts of scripture to me, how you could do that. Because why? It was an offense against him. What happened to the money changers in the temple? That was an offense against the Father. Our Lord formed a whip and drove them out of the temple and kicked over all their stuff. But what is it, Jesus? Forgive them for their own. Why didn't you forgive them for not knowing what they were doing? Because they were offending the Father. This is St. Louis. This is the reality. Okay, this is the way we need to approach it. It's not a matter of being across the board. Because unfortunately, right now, you know, we're living in these days of mercy, 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 and we're letting sin run rampant. We're letting Satan cavort around unchecked because of mercy, mercy, mercy. You don't want to offend anybody and tell them they're doing something wrong. Oh, no. That needs to be addressed. Offenses against us, let it go. Offenses against God, be the soldier you're supposed to be. This is our calling. This is being sincere in the preaching of the gospel. This is disinterestedness in things in this world. We do what God wants and what God says. It's the gospel today. Do, Pharisees, don't just talk. This is our marching orders. In the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.